Thank you, Rob. Good morning, everyone. I'm Amanda Bryant, and I, as Rob said, I'm a consultant in the Immunization Information System Support Branch, or IISSB, at CDC, at the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. I and my colleague, Janet Kelly, the technical assistance team lead for IISSB, will be presenting today on a survey that we performed to assess variability among IIS forecasting algorithms. I'll begin with a brief discussion of the background and methods of the survey, and then turn it over to Janet, who will present the results. Immunization information systems, or IIS, are confidential, computerized information systems that collect and consolidate vaccination data from multiple healthcare providers, generate reminder and recall notifications, and assess vaccination coverage within a defined geographic area. There are 12 functional standards, which all IIS need to be able to perform in order to fulfill this purpose, to serve as a tool for increasing and sustaining high vaccination coverage levels, and to support immunization activities in both the public and private sectors. One of the 12 functional standards for IIS is immunization forecasting. This functional standard specifies that an IIS should automatically determine the routine childhood immunizations needed in compliance with current Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, recommendations when an individual presents for scheduled immunization. Immunization program grantees are the project leaders in development, implementation, and ongoing operations of IIS in their jurisdiction. As such, each grantee has identified their own approach to accomplishing this task, with some choosing to develop their IIS using their internal IT resources, while others have chosen to acquire vendor services to either design and develop the application or to customize an existing application, either commercially available or in the public domain. Because each grantee has its own technical approach, as well as its own immunization program requirements, forecasting functions can vary widely across IIS. In addition, there is potential for multiple interpretations of the ACIP schedule due to inherent complexities in the schedule, as well as the current method of disseminating recommendations in a narrative description of required intervals in terms of days and months. Recognizing these factors, NCIRD conducted the survey with two objectives in mind: to determine the variability that existed in forecasting tools across IIS grantees, and to explore the feasibility of standardization of IIS forecasting recommendations for children under 6 years of age. This survey was not intended to evaluate IIS forecasting tools. To design the survey, an internal workgroup of IISSB staff and an ACIP subject matter expert collaborated to determine how to gather the data needed to accomplish our objectives, as well as any factors that might influence IIS forecasting functions or results. The final survey had 11 questions. Two questions asked about possible vaccine shortages and potential forecasting adjustments to reflect modified vaccine recommendations. The remaining 9 questions were test cases developed with the assistance of the ACIP subject matter expert and consisted of a date of birth and immunization history for a hypothetical child. Scenarios were designed for 4 vaccine types, with 3 cases for DTaP, 3 for Hib, 2 for PCV7, and 1 for Hep B. Grantees were asked to run these cases in their IIS and report to us the forecast date for the next shot in the vaccine series. The ACIP SME provided their recommended forecast date as a point of comparison. The survey was distributed to 44 of 56 state and city grantee IIS. The IIS selected were those that were currently operational and who reported to us on the calendar year 2008 Immunization Information Systems annual report that they met the IIS immunization forecasting functional standard. A web-based survey tool was developed and piloted with selected grantees. The grantees selected as pilots included those using the most common IIS software products and some who developed their own products in-house. The survey was distributed by email with a unique web link assigned to each grantee to assure privacy, and that only one survey would be completed per grantee. 36 of the 44 surveyed IIS responded for an 82% response rate. After data collection was completed, we calculated the variance between the IIS forecast result and the date provided by our ACIP SME for each test case. To do this, we subtracted the ACIP SME recommended date from the IIS forecasted date, yielding the variance in terms of days. If the IIS forecast date was chronologically earlier than the SME recommended date, it yielded a negative number, indicating the forecast date was earlier than recommended. If the date forecast was chronologically later than the SME recommended date, it yielded a positive number, indicating the IIS forecast date was later than recommended. If these dates matched, it yielded a zero, indicating a match to the SME recommended date. I'll now turn it over to Janet for the results.
Thanks, Amanda. This is an important slide to sort of just bridge in, the next slide, which will have the overall results. But and so I will do that. There were the 9 test cases, and this shows the overall results by the number of days of variance. Again, this is the absolute variance. As indicated, it includes both the too early and the too late. The 9 test cases are listed on the left side. 0 days of variance indicate a match with the ACIP subject matter expert recommendation. The absolute variance was then delineated and categorized by a variance of whether it was 1 to 5 days, or 6 to 13 days, or 14 days or more from the SME recommendation. As the chart shows, most variances occurred either 1 to 5 days or 14 days or greater. So if you take the number of survey respondents and the number of test cases, the possible number of forecasts is 324. That would be the 36 IIS forecast times the 9 cases. And adding those together, then the absolute variance columns between 1 and 5, 6 to 13, and 14 or greater, the table shows that 145 variances, or approximately 45% of forecasts, did not match the ACIP SME recommendation. So in the next slide, we'll take a look at some of the variances that I circled in red. Note that the most challenging forecasts were the 3 DTAP test cases and the late administration of hepatitis B. So first we'll take a look at the late administration of hepatitis B. As we review all these 4 test cases that were selected, the first slide for each test case will contain the information on the scenario presented to the forecasters, the forecast test results, and then the absolute variance to the SME recommended forecast. The subject matter expert, I use SME. So in each case, the evaluation date for forecasting the next dose due is the day after the last dose. So the hepatitis B test case that we're seeing here on the slide was designed to assess the impact of late administration of hepatitis B vaccine dose number 1, with the second dose administered 1 month after the first dose. In this case, the first hepatitis B vaccine dose was at 3 months of age and the second dose at 4 months of age. So the evaluation date used for forecasting the next dose was May 2nd, the day after the second dose was administered. The ACIP SME recommended date for dose number 3 was July 22nd. 15 IIS forecasters matched that SME recommendation, and 18 forecasted more than 14 days too early or too late from the SME recommendation. So the next slide, we'll take a look at those 18 forecasts that are greater than 14 days. And just in general, the second slide for each of these test cases will include the ACIP SME recommendation with specific detail and some results that can be attributed to the variance. The graph on the right will show the individual IIS forecasting variances. However, this graph will differentiate between a forecast that is too early, identified by a negative number, or one that is too late, which is identified by a positive number. In this test case, the ACIP SME recommended date for hepatitis B dose number 3 was 8 weeks from the second dose. and at least 16 weeks from the first dose. The first dose was administered on April 1st. The graph shows that of the 18 forecasts greater than 14 days, approximately 45% or eight IS forecasters that are circled in the red forecasted 8 weeks from the second dose and not 16 weeks from the first dose. Note that the graph shows a variance of 30 days and that is because the forecast also includes the 4 weeks between doses one and two, so that's where the 8 week variance comes in. Okay, next we'll take a look at the early administration of DTaP. The first DTaP test case was designed to assess the impact of early administration of DTaP dose number one, that is the administration prior to the minimum age of 6 weeks. In this case, the child received the first DTaP at 5 weeks of age. The evaluation date used for forecasting the next dose was February 6th, the day after the first dose was administered. So nine IS forecasters matched the SME, ACIP SME recommendation. Eight forecasted more than 14 days too early or too late, and 18 forecasted 1 to 5 days too early or too late from the SME recommendation. So we'll take a look at that 1 to 5 days variance. In this test case, the ACIP SME recommended date for dose number two was March 1st, 2008. The graph on the right shows that 14 forecasted 4 weeks, or a date of March 4th, from the last dose, which was given on February 5th. This resulted in a forecast of 3 days too late. The minimum age was violated by administering a dose to a child less than 6 weeks of age. So the dose given on February 5th is invalid. There is no minimal interval because dose number one, there is no minimal interval because before dose number one, so the minimal interval cannot be applied for forecasting. Therefore, the first dose of DTaP should be forecast for the recommended age of 2 months. The minimal interval recommendation is not yet published in ACIP recommendations, but I'm told it should be soon. So next we'll take a look at late administration of DTaP. This second DTaP test case was designed to assess the impact of late administration of DTaP dose number one. That is after the child's second month birthday. In this case, the child received the first DTaP at approximately 3.5 months of age. The IIS evaluation date for forecasting was April 16th. 16 IIS forecasts matched the subject matter expert recommendation, and 50% of IIS forecasted more than 14 days too early or too late from the SME recommendation. We'll take a look at the 14-day variance. The ACIP SME recommendation for dose number two is at 4 months of age, but no earlier than 4 weeks after dose number one. The SME recommended date for dose number two was May 13th, which was 4 weeks from the last dose based on the catch-up schedule. The catch-up schedule is used on children 4 months and older. 13 IIS circled in red used the routine schedule and forecasted at 8 weeks. Well, here the ACIP SME acknowledged that forecasting this test case was going to be challenging due to the fact that the evaluation date for forecasting the next dose was on a child who is at 3.5 months of age and therefore precluded the use of the catch-up schedule. So, however, the child will be 4 months of age when the next vaccine dose is due to be administered. So the SME couldn't argue against using 8 weeks based on the routine schedule, but expressed concern that the recommended intervals on table one of the general recommendations were not standardized across all vaccines for this purpose. So we have conflicting interpretations here, but the preferred forecast is 4 weeks from the last dose. So the third and last DTaP test case was designed to assess the impact of administering DTaP doses 1, 2, and 3 less than 2 months apart. In this case, the child received the first DTaP at 2 months of age, with each subsequent dose administered approximately 6 weeks apart. The IIS evaluation date for forecasting was June 2nd, the day after the third dose was administered. And the SME recommended forecast was April 1st, 2009. 50% of the IIS forecast matched the SME recommendation. However, nearly half forecasted at least 14 days or more from the SME recommendation. So we'll take a look at those. Okay. Looking at the 16 IIS forecasting the next dose more than 14 days too early, 10 IIS forecasted 90 days too early, and 3 forecasted more than 120 days too early, as shown by the arrows. The 10 IISs that forecasted 90 days too early and used 12 months as the next date the dose was due. Although a fourth DTaP is a valid dose for a child 12 months of age, the forecast algorithm should forecast the recommended age, which is 15 months. So, and a dose validation process should be separate from the forecasting process. Clearly, there are limitations to using the data that was submitted for this survey. There are these outliers, as expressed or seen by these arrows. And no follow-up was done to ascertain the reasons because the survey scope, again, was just to show that variability existed in forecasting tools. The two questions that we had were also on shortages and adjustments. And these questions were asked to see if there could be a potential effect of the shortages on an IIS's forecasting the next dose due. The types of vaccine shortage reported is shown in this table. There are 67 vaccine shortages that were reported by these IIS, the 36 IIS, and that's because they could report multiple shortages during that time period. Of the 31 that reported the shortages, 21 reported that they did not make adjustments to their algorithm during the shortage, and 10 reported that they did make adjustments based on vaccine recommended changes. And of the 4 test cases we just reviewed, only one adjusted their tool for shortages. Well, in summary, it comes back to interpretation of the ACIP recommendations by IIS forecasting algorithms varied substantially. Some of this can be attributed to the overall complexity and format in which the recommendations are documented. Also, we saw some conflicting interpretations. So approximately a third of the forecasting algorithms were adjusted to account for the shortages. Adjusting or not adjusting the forecasting tool did not appear to have an effect on forecasting test result, at least for the 4 that we just looked at. However, further examination is warranted. There was some interesting patterns that suggested there might be some local variances that could be explored in that area. And some patterns, and probably more key, there were some patterns that emerged in these variations, as I just showed in those 4 test cases. And although the intent of the survey was to demonstrate the variability in the forecasting tools, that the registry community, IIS community, has long suspected existed. Looking at these 4 cases in detail has provided us with some understanding of the IIS interpretations of the ACIP recommendations and how and why those forecasts varied for the specific vaccines. So some of the implications and next steps, to reiterate, ambiguity in interpreting the ACIP recommendations can provide different forecasting results. Of the 36 IIS forecasting tools, more than half forecasted the next dose due at least 5 days or more too early or too late, with implications for invalid doses, extra immunizations, and children potentially not being protected against vaccine-preventable diseases. As we just saw, there are multiple explanations for the variability. However, the variability demonstrates that there is a need for clearly defined standard ACIP recommendations for electronic systems. electronic systems that can utilize ACI-approved recommendations which are developed in a computer-readable language that can clearly define each recommendation and that are technology neutral will benefit healthcare practitioners and individuals by providing consistent guidance on vaccine recommendations. You have been telling CDC this for years, that we need to have standardization of ACIP recommendations. And so we've heard you, and we are exploring options to having this conversation fairly soon. We have about 5 minutes. If anyone has a couple of questions right now, we can.
I know you have said that your purpose wasn't to evaluate the IIS itself.
Right.
But did you look at, since you have the data, what the recurrence was of the same IIS giving, you know, good or bad recommendations that was within your data set to look at? I'm curious about the sort of dispersion of good and bad, for lack of a better term, good and bad recommendations was across the, 36 that was done?
Correct, yes. And let's see, when we talk about some. You can, yes, we did have that, and you could see it. Again, if anyone wants to contact us, we can talk about the individual variances. However, I did take a look at these variances here, the 1 to 5 days, these for HIB and PCV7. And it's interesting. I think that that's where there might be those state or local variances or something in there, because if an IIS forecasted 3 days too early, it was very consistent with all of them were forecasted 3 days too early or 5 days too late. So there's something else going on there. But again, it wasn't the intent of this survey to go into depth. Otherwise, we would have done some data cleanup.